This is Charlottesville Tomorrow, an advocate for our future today. Charlottesville Tomorrow is a nonpartisan community organization working on land use, transportation, and community design issues. Visit us on the web at seavilletomorrow.org.
On March 17, 2009, the Albemarle County Planning Commission received an update on the Village of Urbana Master Plan. The Village of Urbana is one of the county's designated growth areas and the location of the Glenmore development on Route 250 East. The staff made recommendations regarding the land use and transportation plan for the village based on input that was received at several public workshops held with the citizens of the village between July 2007 and November 2008. Charlottesville Tomorrow's recording begins with a staff report from Elaine Eccles.
Our next agenda item is a work session, CPA 2008-3, Village of Urbana. This is the Land Use Framework and Transportation Plan. And we'll, I believe, have Elaine feed us some information.
I'll just do a little introduction. Bill Wanner with the TJPDC has been working with us on this project, and he's going to do the presentation, and David and I are available to answer questions because we suspect there may be a few from you all in terms of some clarifications of things we put in our staff report. So,
thanks, Elaine. Just wanted to recognize Billy Campbell, who's our Chief Administrative Officer, and he's joining me today for moral support. Whatever I can get, I'll take it. So this first slide is basically a context slide, as well as the slide on the right of the study area, which is outlined in the orange. The development area is shown in gray. We've looked at the larger study area primarily to analyze whether the growth area, the development area, is an appropriately sized, and to look at the context in a broader sense of just what are the dynamics that surround that.
Let me interrupt you real quick. Can the folks in the back hear the presentation?
Can you hear me better? Okay, good. Thanks. And just might add at this point that we do not foresee any change in the development area itself, and that's certainly something we've discussed with you as well. Okay. These are the series of workshops that we've had, updates with you all, and I might just mention that in addition, we've had a stakeholders group that's met several times over the course of this project. Their primary charge was to assist in the process of civic community engagement in this process. The next slide. These are the three arrangements that were shown to the public at the November 13th, 2008 community workshop that was hosted by the Planning Commission. And we basically asked for information, a preference on each of these three. We provided some information. The one on the left has two civic greens with a slightly higher density on the periphery of those civic greens with a lower density radiating from it. Again, on one side of Carroll Creek to the east and on the other side of Carroll Creek to the west. Arrangement two eliminates the eastern civic green, provides a lower density, about a three unit per acre density on that eastern side, again protecting or preserving the concept of the civic green. The third arrangement really clusters whatever larger development. This is just a larger scale image of the arrangements three, the same one. And this indeed was the one that was preferred by the citizens that participated in the workshop. So this this arrangement basically fans out from what we're calling the Village Center, Urbana Village at Glenmore, not promoting additional civic greens so much as recognizing that we can have some higher density development adjacent to the Village Center. All right. So let me just provide a little background information, and then we'll look at that preferred arrangement and talk a little bit more about how we've refined that and honed it based on some of this background information. The potential improvements for Route 250 include four laning from the intersection at Route 250 and 64 to Glenmore Way, and to go down to two lanes from Glenmore Way eastbound. The graphic on the left, the perspective shows a four lane with a median. There is a walking and bicycle path on the far left. It's a little bit hard to see, but there is a bicyclist on that path to give you a little bit of a orientation. And again, that's not fixed in stone, just whether or not that's a part of the concept. And on the lower right is a two-lane, not divided roadway, again with a pedestrian and bicycle path to the left. Okay. Right now, the expected improvement to the intersection at 250 and Glenmore Way is for a signal that has been proffered and will occur. The roundabout is something that we would consider as development occurs, and if there were funds available to do something other than the traffic signal, we would certainly consider a roundabout at that time. And I won't go into the many features of and benefits of a roundabout. I'm sure you all have heard some of those from our previous executive director, perhaps. All right. We're looking, and these are given in the preferred arrangement graphic, so I won't belabor these too much, but we'll look at them in more detail. We're looking at an access point at Hacktown Road and 250 into the Village of Ravana Development Area. That would be then a four-way intersection. The second interchange or access point from 250 would be near Breezy Hill Lane. And again, that's east of Carroll Creek, which separates those two areas that we looked at in all of the arrangements. The pedestrian crossing over Carroll Creek, and certainly pedestrian connections throughout, are part of, I think, the neighborhood model that you all have accepted in your comprehensive plan. The pedestrian crossing over Carroll Creek may be difficult and expensive, but we've proposed that at least as a consideration for promoting access from that eastern development area and including the Running Deer community into that ability to access the village center, Ravana Village. And, of course, we would look at transit as an option, an opportunity, since we recognize the 250 is a stressed road right now, and the transit would give us one other means of alleviating some of that stress. In terms of schools, Stone Robinson Elementary School, Burley Middle School, and Monticello High School serve the Village of Ravana project. The capacity in each of those schools is adequate for this project, for the projected development that the scenario provides to you. And as is the case with water as well, capacity for water is adequate for the entire village. Wastewater comes from the Glenmore Sewage Treatment Plant, and right now capacity there, it really only allows for the lower end of the density range that we've talked about, meaning 3 to 6 units per acre. So really the capacity of the sewer limits us to about a 3-acre overall density. So that's what we've modeled. The fire and rescue and police, the county goal for police is a response time of 10 minutes or less. The village of Ravana, that area is meeting that county goal. Fire and rescue is, again, the county goal here is 5 minutes. The response time is more in the range of 7 to 8 minutes for that particular fire and rescue squads. But they're working aggressively to bring that down to a 5-minute level. All right. So again, these are the three scenarios that we looked at previously and that were presented to the community. The third, I think we'll see that yet again too, is shown here. And we'll flip again to the next slide and look at something that we've done that will refine this. And again, just to emphasize that this is really at a 3 dwelling unit per acre overall density. The idea here is to basically provide for a very low density, equal to or less than 2 dwelling units per acre, over the eastern side abutting the Running Deer neighborhood, and to the north southern portion, just below the village center, again, is slated for very low intensity development, which abuts Glenmore, and the new developments of Leek and Livengood would be at that low density as well. The yellow is at about 3 dwelling units per acre. The orange is at about 6 dwelling units per acre. So we have a range, but our overall average is at that 3 dwelling units per acre level. Again, this was based on infrastructure constraints and the preferred scenario as it was shown to us by the public. You can see, of course, in this case, we've really lowered the overall density, in particular in that area where we had three different circles or semicircles radiating from the village center. We now only have one that's at a slightly lower density than even the third of those tiers. There is a 50-foot buffer planned between the development area and Route 250, as you can see there, as well as there. So we feel as though we're meeting the needs of the community, but also recognizing the limitations that the sewage treatment plant places upon us. Okay? So again, we have, let's see, did we skip too far? You want to back up? Okay. So we basically looked at this already, density of 3 units per acre, the less than or equal to 2 units. And again, we're sticking with the neighborhood density throughout. We're not looking at a more urban density whatsoever on this scenario. And the next slide talks a little bit about what we're projecting. This would be between 300 and 400 units using a multiplier of about 2.5 people per household. That would equate to about 750 to 1,000 new residents in this scenario. All right. So basically what we have presented in very brief format to you is the first three bullets here. We've not talked in any great detail about this, but we want to give you the opportunity to help and guide us through these key points. That is the community facilities, the land use plan, transportation recommendations. We will then come back to you with a master plan draft, and at that point we'll really send it back to you for consideration and eventually a public hearing and a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. But I think these first three bullets are what we feel would be appropriate to speak to tonight. And so we'll end with just a couple questions. How do you feel the preferred scenario sits with you? The community facilities and transportation, what are some of the issues that you're concerned with there? And then other, of course, topics that you all may have based on this this proposal. So at that point, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Does anyone have any questions?
The only question I have, Mr. Chairman, is I was really amazed to see the response time of East Ravenna Fire Department up between 7 and 8 minutes,
right,
where they have always been extremely responsive. What's the problem and what are we doing about it?
Right.
I mean, the people
They're aggressively working to bring that down. Now, how they're doing that, I do not know specifically. Do you have any idea? Shed some light on that.
We asked them to give us some information on their response times, and they gave us the last 2 years' worth of response times, and we averaged it. And they noted when they sent it to us that they recognized that it's there are some inefficiencies that they are trying to fix. They didn't say exactly what they are, but they are very much aware of it, and I think were reluctant to send us the information that didn't meet the standards that exist, but they are working to try and meet those.
I wish to address that. It's more of a personal issue with me, I think, but I always question the five-minute response time standard, 5 minutes to where. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to judge. If East Ravenna is responding to calls that are not within the immediate area but in the more rural areas, that's going to impact their average, obviously. But I've always sort of questioned that five-minute response time standard, because if you do look at the radius of distance that a five-minute response time commands, then we're going to need to build a whole heck of a lot more fire and rescue stations around Admiral County. But that is said, that's just my honest disagreement with some of the standards that I keep hearing spoken about. But I just felt compelled to comment, Cal, so I'm sorry.
Thank you very much, because they're always number one
right
unit on site in Key West Subdivision.
And their location is central to what's defined as a development area. That five-minute response time is just to the designated development area. Once outside, the response time is 13 minutes. So I think it's probably right now a little bit more of an operational issue that can be addressed. And I'm not sure there's a locational issue that's a problem.
The only other thing, Mr. Chairman, is that I'd like to commend Bill and everyone else that what I saw in this plan was pretty much right on target what I heard the last time we were out at the East Ravenna Fire Department and had the public hearing and so on. It's right on. And I also agree with you 1,000% that we got the information about the sewerage capacity and we are listening to it and planning in accordance.
Absolutely.
Well
We're
done.
Looking at that adequate infrastructure commitment. Absolutely.
I guess Cal was talking about the wastewater treatment plant and getting that information. What I wanted to know was, when you're figuring out capacity, are you figuring out the commercial uses that are anticipated in this also? Or is it just the residential you've been looking at?
My understanding is it's a blended rate that they use. And you all may have some more insights on that, but I believe that's a blended commercial and household rate that's, in my estimation, quite high. And, in fact, the actual user rate is lower than what they're projecting for each household. But that seems to be the safety valve that they look at in terms of capacity. So I don't know if that answers your question or not.
I think so. So I guess what you're saying is that what we have on the plan here, we can take care of. If the plan changes and there's more, if we change the plan for increased density, then we'll be in trouble. But you're saying on the lower end here,
Three
units per acre that this treatment plant can handle what we've got on the books, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you know, increased capacity would allow for higher density development. Certainly that would be the case. And if that were the wishes of the Planning Commission, we could certainly look at that in terms of what a higher density configuration we'll look at and what would be the capacity needed to do that, if that would be something that you'd like to see.
Okay. I think at the last meeting, too, and people were asking, okay, you've got, I don't know what color this is, an orange blob here.
Mm-hmm.
How many dwellings do you expect to see in there.
In
have
that.
You done that? Have you thrown a scale on there to just sort of get an idea of?
We have. Yes, we have. Do you have those numbers, Elaine, with you on that little map?
I don't think I have the revised numbers with
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. People were
right.
concerned about that.
Right. Right. The preponderance of the development is in a 2 acre or less area. The preponderance of that western side is at a 3 dwelling units per acre. And, you know, again, that area that we're looking at for 6 units is very modest in scale and may not even accept a full 6 dwelling units per acre.
It helps people if they have a number that you expect to see 100 units or 20 units or whatever.
Yes, yes.
It helps them see that in their
good
mind,
point.
What
right.
what may happen in that area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll certainly get that specifically for you.
One of the things about the way the plan is laid out, though, is that area is a little not totally defined with a line. The concept is that from the center it radiates out, so you know you have your highest density, which wouldn't be over 6, right there towards the center. And there are numbers that can play out any way, but you know that as you get towards Carroll Creek, you're going to have very low density.
I know that, but that question was brought up so many times that we should be able to give people an idea, at least a ballpark figure with I don't know. I think that really was a question.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's important. And in fact, we do have the GIS technician that prepared the map actually did do an acreage calculation based on those 2, 3, and 6 figures. So that's available, and we could certainly get that to you in the next day.
I have a question about your assessment of the school's capacity, just very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Stone Robinson, correct me if I'm wrong, also serves the Pantops region as well. Was the Pantops master plan and future build-out numbers calculated in with the Rivanna Village master plan numbers to assess capacity?
The planning for future schools is really looked at a countywide level. The Stone Robinson, I believe, does serve some portions of the Pantops area. I think Ashcroft might go to Stone Robinson. I'm not sure. But Stony Point and Cale also serve that
right.
area as well. But the school looks at total population growth and then looks at within those school areas the overall projected growth. What they've generally seen is a relatively flat growth, surprisingly, given our growth rate, to the extent that they're really projecting only one new elementary school will be needed over the next 10-year period. And that's likely going to be in the southern urban area, the neighborhood 4-5 area.
Okay.
So any growth in the Pantops area or in the Ravana area would likely be dealt with through a redistricting that would shift from Stony Point to Cale to the new school.
That's the operative word, and I just wanted to set public expectation that the capacity issue may very well be handled with a redistricting move.
But this general area is not seen as a high-growth area, so I'm not sure to what extent people in the immediate Glenmore area would be subject to shifting. It's sort of central to the Stony Point district. It's going to be in the Stone Robinson District. It's going to be more on the fringes of this district that are more subject to change.
Understood. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions? I sort of jumped in.
Tom. Yeah, I do. A couple of questions. First, I'd like to agree. I'd like to see the data on how many acres of development mm-hmm. are going in versus the overall mm-hmm. overall plan. Two, you had the expected number of new dwelling units would be between 300 and 400. What percentage of this is an increase in the growth area? What percentage are we talking about?
In terms, I'm sorry.
Overall increase by adding 300 to 400 new homes. What percentage increase is this for the total number in the growth area? Is this a 10%, 20%, 30%?
Right, right. Good question. That I do not know off the top of my head. Do you all have a
total
estimate of that?
The prior holding capacity.
Total number of homes that are currently in the total number of homes in the growth area, and then added 400, what percentage does that account for?
There are 750 existing units in the development area right now. There are about 650 units that have been approved that have not been built. That would be Leek and Live and Good and Rivanna Village at Glenmore. And that would end up being, on top of that, 300 to 400, which gives you a total number of units of somewhere between 1,700 and 1,800. So right now, if we have 750, that would be 1,700 to 1,800 total.
And the question, I guess, is staff, on the sewer capacity, if you went to higher density, wouldn't Albemarle sewer and water be obligated to meet the capacity needs? I mean, isn't that their bailiwick? So what I'm saying is, are we planning down rather than looking at, are there any things planned for improvement as far as the system that wouldn't?
Payne's
spoken directly to them. So
I've had quite a few conversations with both the Service Authority and Rivanna Water and Sewer Authority on that. And basically, we asked the question about room for expansion in the existing wastewater treatment plant. And the answer was, physically, there's room there. But when you get into an increase in the average flow above this 381,000 gallons per day, which is what the facility is sized for, you start getting into different treatment requirements. You might have a whole different treatment process that's needed. They couldn't really answer the question as to what is needed, but right now it seemed like it was going to be an expensive upgrade and one that could result in a complete overhaul of the existing system. So it was important to them that we know that about the particular sewage treatment plant. We only asked the question of, can it be expanded? We didn't say, what will it really take to meet the densities that are recommended in the comprehensive plan? And that is something we could go back and ask them.
I just didn't know if I know in this grand scheme that they're upgrading the whole system, if there was anything planned for this treatment plant in specific to increase the capacity.
There are increments of growth within that planned 381,000 gallons per day, as I understand it. So there are some other improvements that are necessary, but within that existing capacity. That's what I understand. But going beyond that capacity, it has not been planned. That was what the facility was sized for, that capacity.
I guess that leads to the final question is, what, if any, impact will this capacity now being maxed out have on future development within the Pantops Group master plan? What was that? Or is that a separate system?
It's a package plan just for this area.
Totally independent facility.
Thank you.
And again, you need to keep in mind that there's all sorts of assumptions about what that capacity is based on, the gallons per household, and what is planned for and what is observed might be different. That might free up capacity, that put into capacity, depending on what the practice has been. The experience has been the use is less than what they planned for. But, you know, the significant, more intensive development is yet to take place.
Bill?
Yeah, I don't know if anybody can answer my question, but in reviewing the staff report, I started wondering, going way back when the village was committed to by the original developer and made part of the development area, was there a number, a density number that was proffered or suggested or... I'm just wondering.
Back to the original comp plan?
Yeah. Because basically what we're looking at here, if I'm reading it correctly, is the build-out, which is on the low end of what we typically ask for in the development area. And I know that the consultant has been responding directly to some of the public input, but I'm just curious how much, if we've been counting on more density in this area, and we don't provide that in our in our long-term plans, and then that's going to put pressure on other areas in the county for that growth to go. And but, I think we need to be aware of that if that's the decision we're going to make.
I'll answer by giving hopefully a real brief history of the development area. It was approved in 1989 as a village. It was fairly restricted as to the development types of uses and density of development. At the time, we had several villages, and we had a village designation, a village density designation, and that's the designation that was placed on the development area. In 1995, when we updated the plan, our hope was that we would get greater net density development out of that. So out of the development area, so we did go to the neighborhood density type of designation. What you have to keep in mind is I think Glenmore is about 3/5 of the development area. So what was unplanned for was less than half of that development area. What I think we're resulting in, and Lane can, we'd have to go back and verify, but probably at build-out now, based on Glenmore is approved, the Ravana Village Center area, we're now calling it, Leak and Live and Good, in this area, we're probably getting a net result of development similar to what the original comp plan area is. So that's... There wasn't any proper. There was.
There wasn't a specific number because I certainly wasn't involved officially in any capacity at that time. But I do recall that there was a lot of back and forth between the developer and the county about the, you know, it was seeking density that was not allowed in the rural area and he was providing a lot of amenities to support that density. And I was thinking that back in those days, I know that there were the village concept, which was the big part of the master plan at that time, it was the beginning of trying to designate development areas. And you know, if we're close to what was anticipated, then I think it's appropriate. But if we're way off, then I think we need to know that.
In my opinion, from what was adopted in 1989, we're very close to what was the original intent. We had hoped to get a somewhat more utility out of it with the 96 plan. I think the mix of use was important that we did get with the. But I think the end product is similar to the original concept in terms of residential development.
If numbers help any, we would be looking at under this scenario. 1,800 or maybe a little more than that on the total build out in terms of dwelling units. We said 1,700 to 1,800, and those numbers are just they're sort of general numbers. And then under the land use plan, I think we would have been looking at about 2,100 to 2,800. So we're close. We're not exactly on.
What was the second set of
2,100 to 2,800.
That's from the 95 plan, right?
Right.
Any other questions? Thank you. So I'm sitting here thinking how we should proceed. Perhaps we should start discussing these questions that you see before us, allow the public to hear our reactions to it, and then perhaps invite public comment, or do we want to do it in the other order? Referring to my judgment. Well, that's quick. Yeah. You do that at your own risk. Why don't we address these questions, at least give the audience a notion as to, I guess, how we're feeling, allow folks to come up and add comment, and then maybe we can finalize our discussions. Because I do know that a lot of times when I do hear from the public, my own personal opinions do get influenced by that. So, at any rate, do we feel that this recommended plan is appropriate?
I, for one, do. I'm glad it's dropped down. And Bill's question is right on. As I recall, when we were talking about the village center, this was one of the key areas, as I recall, the density. But then looking at it, I really think that we have responded to public input and so on and so forth, and to the topography of the land. I think we have a much more realistic point here. But I definitely am for it.
Well, the only thing I would say, there was a woman who made a comment sort of as we were all leaving the firehouse, and she liked the idea of another sort of green open space somewhere. So if that's a possibility that it gets, I don't know, added to one of these green spaces that are adjacent to the water, I don't know. It just sounded also like it was a good idea. We have the park in there, and if it's possible or if it makes sense topographically or whatever to have another sort of green, open, common public space, then that'd be nice.
If it were something that you all as a group wanted to have put into the plan, we could put that in the text of the plan because this is all zoned RA. So anything that gives you a density of greater than RA is going to require rezoning. And then you could look at that when the rezoning comes in. But we could handle it as a textual comment. Potentially we could put something in here as far as a green space, but I think you have more flexibility if you just put it in the text.
I don't know if anyone agrees with me or not.
So. Just a question. On the running deer side, on the right side of that, two questions. One, did you have the right-of-way for the pedestrian bridge? Is there right-of-way there for that? And two, I know there was some concern about water supply in those areas. I assume that this is not served by sewer and water on the right-hand side and will not be in the future.
No, it would be. It would be in the jurisdictional area because it's part of the development area. So water and sewer service would be available to that area for both for water and sewer west side of Running Deer, not the east side.
The area in yellow.
Yes.
Right. But that's marked for a density of 2-3.
It's 2.
The area in white is outside the development
that
area.
I understand. I was talking about the area. I was wondering why the area that's within the growth area is only. I'm just saying, 2 seems awful low to supply sewer and water. But be that as it may.
Those number, you could have that clustered into a single family unit that would give you smaller densities. But there is a question, there always is, about the cost of extending utilities for a limited size.
Are they served now?
Glenmore is served, so all the area that's Glenmore and Leakin Livingood would be served.
I guess the question is then, if that's the case, why? And you've reached capacity in that, why leave it in the growth area at all?
There was actually a scenario that we did discuss, actually taking that out of the development area, but I think there was a desire, I believe the community input we heard was to leave it with. You've kind of split the difference, so getting some utility out of it at a low density, but it's... Yeah, it's not extensively developed under this concept.
Okay.
You're talking about the piece on the east side of Carroll Creek over to Running Deer?
Yes.
That's the section that we heard from many of the residents that they have significant water problems. Their wells are not...
I understand that. The question is, though... Is if you had to, now that the wells go dry and now you have to supply water and sewer because it's in the growth area, that's a significant cost for a density of, two dwellings per acre if you get that. I'm just, looking at the cost to the the ratepayers, I guess.
Well, I would make the assumption, unless they're going to run it differently than where I've been used to this before, that it'll be the individual residents or the developer who's taking a chunk of that land who's going to bring in the sewer and the water. It's not going to be paid for by other people to supply it.
Are there no developed homes on these areas now?
There are some. They're on large properties.
That's what my point would be. If this is still in the growth area, then they're eligible. And correct me if I'm wrong. Should their wells go dry, that they're eligible?
The way the process works is if it's an individual request, the service authority requires individuals to pay. If it's a development proposal, obviously the developer would bear the cost. They would extend it to the extent that development's approved. That would bring it closer to those property owners at risk, which makes the ability for them to afford the extension more viable. But for the developer, it's a more expensive cost because there's less density to distribute that cost to.
Any other comments on the plan? Could you go back to your questions? I want to make sure I used to. The appropriateness of the recommended plan.
It's fine. Just use different colors so you can see the different yellows. Or use some blue or something. I don't know. Pink.
We've been talking throughout this time about our concerns, issues regarding the facilities. Any comments particularly on the transportation plan? It looks like there's a lot of expected improvements to Route 250.
Route 250 is and will continue to be a mess.
If we're talking about transportation, this is
term.
A very good plan for transportation we don't have.
Because that's true.
It's the least common denominator, to tell you the truth.
Absolutely. What are you going to do? You live there.
Yeah, 250 is a real problem. I mean, you heard it when we had the best proposal in front of us. And it's going to continue to be a problem until there's money to fix it.
But the proposals themselves, assuming adequate public funding, I mean, are we okay with the expansions for the sections that are listed here, the maintenance of a rural two-lane section, et cetera?
Yeah, I agree with Cal. I think within the context of the plan itself, those recommendations are adequate.
Yes, sir.
David, do you have a...
Well, one thing I just want to clarify, there hasn't been an official endorsement of a four-lane section of Route 250 from Shadwell from the Shadwell interchange to Glenmore. That's based on a general study of long-term growth. And looking at the capacity issues, that is a logical approach. But our focus was to know what might be out there, what may be necessary, so that we could plan for frontage improvements and make the appropriate accommodations for right-of-way when and if that improvement is approved, is designed, and we move forward with it. But as of right now, there's a little funding for maintenance, so improvements are going to be a long ways away. And these improvements are not yet endorsed yet as the actual improvements or how those would be designed. I just wanted to be clear about that. It's based on capacity and need.
So what happens to these if they're not official recommendations if we put them in here?
This begins the process to recognize what those improvements would likely be. The next step where this will probably be discussed is in the next update of the regional long-range transportation plan, where there'll be another traffic study done based on updated data, will be refined, and will be incorporated with all of our other regional improvements. So this is a first step in that process.
Will we be putting any language in here that does reflect, I think, Bill, what you're talking about is that maybe talking about transit as a possibility for this area,
absolutely.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. That's part of the regional concept for transit. It was even discussed, Bill might be able to speak to it better, at the Zion Crossroads study, the need to get more regional transit.
again, the density of development, the level in which that can be put out there at an affordable rate, that may take some time, but that's certainly a concept to provide that interconnection. Within the RTA study, the Regional Transit Authority, the notion is an east and north connector, so certainly something in the Pantops area is seen as a shorter term transit option. Commuter train.
I do see that as one of your bullets. I apologize. It is in there.
Some of the most important things we wanted to get from you transportation-wise was the frontage treatment, that buffer along 250, where the interconnections to 250 would be made. Would they be limited or to those two points that we were recommending in the plan? That's really what we were looking for this plan to help advise on.
Was there any consideration of putting pedestrian access on both sides of 250? But it was not. I mean, and what I think I heard was just on the north side. Is that correct? Is there a reason for that?
Out of our transportation workshop that we had with the community, and I think it was thought that if the northern part of the development area isn't, I mean, the northern part of 250 isn't in the development area, why put sidewalks across that part of 250 and keep the sidewalk with the development area, which is south of 250?
Oh, I guess I misunderstood. It looked like in the drawings that we saw that
those are just schematics. It wasn't...
The bicycle was on the north
just
side.
Happened to be on the north. Yeah.
Okay, so the sidewalk is being proposed on the development area side?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess my only comment would be that it seems like the language around the pedestrian improvements is kind of soft, and the language is crisper around the vehicular improvements, so maybe they could be comparable. And there's no mention about bicycle, so maybe when we talk about pedestrians, we could accommodate bicycles also.
Thank you, Julia. Any other comments at this point before I open it up for public comment? At this point, I'd like to invite any members of the public that are here tonight to weigh in and add comments to our proceedings. So at this time, I will invite anyone who wishes to speak to come address us. Mr. Odenoff.
Good evening. I'm Dennis Odenoff. I live in the area. I guess I wanted to clear up something from my understanding. It was my understanding at the last Planning Commission meeting on this subject that there was considerable discussion that explored ways in which improvements to transportation would be linked to future actual development. This is assuming the plan's approved, that there would be language in there which would say that actual development would be contingent upon these improvements. And I guess that the minutes would reflect this, and I was just wondering if any of you remember that, because several of us were excited that that would be included. And the fact is that if development was actually started without anything done to 250, it would be a real morass. And I think that you all did discuss this. And I want to make one other comment. With regard to water on the west side of Running Deer, it's my understanding, and I guess some of the folks living on Running Deer would support this or could clarify, I believe there is a line, it's not a water line, it might be a water line, but there's definitely a sewer line. The sewer line or a water line which runs almost to Running Deer from Glenmore, put in by original developer. Maybe some of you could clarify that.
Ma'am, you're going to have to come up and speak into our microphone for the record. Thank you, Mr. Rodman.
Dennis is sort of right.
Excuse me, you are?
Cindy Burton.
Thank you,
I'm sorry.
Burton.
The water line and the sewer line runs down Farringdon Road, which runs parallel to the western part of Running Deer, but only to part of Running Deer, not all of it. So not everyone would have access to that line. And, of course, in order to access that line, we have to knock down our trees and our buffer, because when that section of Glenmore was built, no one left a buffer there except for what was in Running Deer. So and I know for me personally, I'd have to knock down quite a few of my trees and woods in order to run a line back there. But the day may come when I will have to do that, because we're working off of two wells now. So, but some of my neighbors have plenty of water, but others, it's just kind of, you know, in different spots in there. Yeah. Do you have any other questions about that?
Oh, ma'am.
About Running Deer?
So.
And I think the reason they had talked about doing the lower density out was because of that water issue, but because of the topography also, wasn't it, on the Breezy Hill property, all the critical slopes from Carroll Creek and all of that.
Thank you, Ms. Brown, very much. Sir.
Hi, I'm Neil Means. I live in the area, in the village of Ravana. On the transportation thing, the on that east Albemarle sub-area study, you know, it says that the Route 250 is already over capacity, has been for several years. And it recommends, you know, four-laning 250 out to the village of Ravana. But it also says that if it were four-laned out to the village of Ravana and the village of Ravana were built out, it still would be over capacity. That would not, you know, solve the problem. So there's apparently no transportation plan. Nobody has any idea how to, you know, connect the village of Ravana with Charlottesville with roads of adequate carrying capacity, which is part of the comprehensive plan.
Thank you, Mr. Mead. Sir.
I'm William Orr, and I certainly didn't come with any intention of speaking or any prepared remarks, but let me address two things, if I may. We have about 21 acres across the road. It's not directly from the Glenmore entrance, but it's on this, as you come toward town, across the road. It's in that strip between 250 and 64, and right, if you move the pointer, there's a pond on it, a little bit more to the left, right there. And I have asked a number of times if that be included. And I think that particular piece of land is a pretty piece of land. You can see across to the mountains. It has a pond. And I think it would make a nice place for another green area or a green spot, either a park or a... Somebody told me they thought a par 3 golf course would look nice right there. But you know, it really is, you know, I've kind of run on deaf ears when I've asked that we be included. But whenever 250 is widened from Glenmore on into 64, I know exactly where they're going to take the land to make it a four-lane road. It's going to, about a tenth of a mile or so, is going to come from my cow pasture right now that's there. And I mean, I think there would be reason to include more people other than just the one developer's land. He's added land since this first came about, and yet people right across the road are not included. The other thing that bothers me a bit is that the... Mr. Warner said there's plenty of water for Ravana Village and to add another 300 to 400 housing units, and yet the people on the other side of 250 don't have access to the county water. And when you get down to Hacktown area, those wells are very poor, and there are people that haven't been able to move in their homes because they don't have enough water. And it just seems to me if there's enough water to add 300 to 400 homes in Ravana Village, then there ought to be enough water to let people on the other side of 250 connect to the public water line. And I thank you for
it. Thank you, Mr. Moore.
For anyone else who wishes to address us tonight? Okay, if not, we'll close the public comment section of our deliberations here and bring the matter back before the commission.
Yes.
Any reactions, Tom?
Yeah, I think it was a good point that the gentleman who came up and called for a link between development and infrastructure. And I remember we talked about this. We did talk about it at the last meeting to the point I asked, where was Plan B? In other words, if there is no money for the infrastructure in the near future, and even at these low levels, we're increasing the potential of the 300 to 400 homes. Is that, in effect, not something we should do if we don't have the money? In other words, if we're going to make the quality of life decrease for the current residents, why do it? If you can tell me what the quid pro quo is for the 300 to 400 homes and how it gets tied to infrastructure, that'd be very useful.
I think that's our next step in the process. If you agree that this is the density we're working from, that's our next step, is to write up the sort of the implementation section of the plan, similar to what you'll be looking at shortly in places 29, where we'll try to, I don't know if we'll exactly take a priority area approach, because this area is mostly built out, but it'll try to do that same thing, and that's time new development to infrastructure capacity. So that's our next step to work on that. We wanted to make sure we understood or you agreed to what capacity and land use plan we were working from before we got started on that. Just to be clear, by no means is this just the community facilities section. We're going to be drafting a more complete plan for you.
So I hope that you'll be looking for this, as I will, in that section to see what that link is going to be and how it will be tied to development.
Any other reactions or comments?
I guess I'm always looking for the maximum density that we can get, but it looks as if we really, in this area, we are inhibited because we just don't have the sewer capacity. And I think that when this was first approved, there were people in that area who said they wanted this area not to be super dense and limited the capacity at that point in time when the package treatment plant was designed. So I guess what we're doing now is we're living with the limitations. So
I tend to think this plan does reflect what the community has expressed in the various work sessions that we've had out there in Glenmore. I remember that workshop, I guess it was called, and this certainly was the plan I think that was preferred more than others. So it is a combination of things. We do look at infrastructure capacity. We look at methods of developing concurrently, water, sewer, traffic, transportation, schools, fire rescue, all of that. Concurrent with the increase in residential development and commercial development, that's always been a tricky balance. But it's certainly something that has grown more prominently in county planning and policy. And so I agree with Tom. I would be looking for it as well. That's something that had its genesis, I think, in Crozet years ago, and I'm glad it's playing a very large role in this conversation.
I support that completely.
Linda. Any comments or?
I think I think you guys are doing a good job.
Okay. I want to give you an opportunity.
Let me just go back and correct something in my mind that Marcia said. I don't think we're responding to a limited capacity. We're making a decision not to ask the Sewer and Water Authority to look into expanding the capacity. From what I heard, I think there is a potential to increase that capacity to allow more density, but we are choosing not to do that. It's not that we're up against the max. It's up against that. We're actually choosing not to expand and not to ask them to spend the money to do it. Just want to be clear about that.
Any other comments?
Just in regard to the questions about transportation, as in transit, can we assume that when this would move along that it would be designed as transit ready?
I'll turn my question now to staff. Do you have an adequate response from us for what you need to take the next step?
I'll start off. I heard two comments or ideas to go back to. I just want to make sure there's a consensus on. There was a note to kind of beef up the pedestrian comments, put them on the same level as the road improvements, and make sure that we also note bicycle improvements. So I assume there's consensus on that. And maybe to go back and, or as we draft the text, to look at other possible green space areas in the plan. Is that sort of a consensus for us to go back and explore that? Okay. That's all. Got what we need.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much. We'll conclude this work session. Appreciate you taking the time to present the material with you. Thank you all for coming out and adding your voices to our considerations. So we'll move on.